Let's take our Bibles and turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. I'd like to deal with the last two verses of chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. Four times from verses 25 to 31. Four times. Our Lord warned His hearers against the peril and the bondage of worry. And it is a bondage, isn't it? I mean, just, you ever notice that you wake up in the middle of the night? It's always worse. It's always worse. Verse 25, He said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." No worry. Verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" Verse 28, "Why take ye thought for raiment?" Verse 31, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Brother Henry Mahan wrote these five things down one time, and I think that it's been such a blessing to me. I'd like to read them to you. He said, "We have entirely too many fears for a people to whom the Lord has said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." He said, secondly, "We have far too many doubts and fears concerning God's mercy, love, and grace for a people to whom the Lord has said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Oh, I'm so thankful that when I see the failings of myself, that the Lord has said, I'm not going to cast you out. Number three, He said, "We spend entirely too much time grumbling and complaining about our trials and our troubles for a people to whom the Lord has said, in the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Number four, He said, "We have entirely too much attachment to this world and to its present life for a people who are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God." One of these days, we're going to see with perfect sight what right now we can but, and oh, what a great blessing that but is, believe it by faith. Number five, we have far too much anxiety, care, and fear, far too much concern for earthly material things for a people to whom the Lord has said, "Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." He knows that. Our Lord said to those that He preached to, we just started with this a while ago, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on." But look at verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first. I looked it up. It says first in time, first in place, first in order, and first in importance. Seek ye first. First priority. This is my first duty. That's what I entitled that, this message right here. My first duty, seek ye first before anything else. This is number one right here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else is going to be taken care of. What a promise. We worship God, and we seek that which He has revealed, His kingdom, His righteousness. I got to thinking about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That kingdom, and I tried to just read some scriptures and find out what does the Word of God have to say about the kingdom of God. What does God have to say about His kingdom? Well, I know according to Matthew 13:11, it's a kingdom whose mysteries must be revealed. His disciples, remember when they asked Him, Lord, why do you speak in parables? You're always preaching in parables. And He said, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them it's not given. Notice that, you know, unto you, but unto them, no. Unto you, yes. Unto them, no. What mysteries? Well, consider something about the incarnation of Christ. God made flesh. What about divine election? That God Almighty chose the people, and everything we know about it and believe about it and love about it, we think, what a mystery. That God Almighty in His blessed Son gave Him a people, and He stood for them eternally as the surety. And from, I always hesitate to say time. How do you talk in eternity? How do you speak from that eternal thought, purpose, will, action? The Lord never looked to the sheep to answer. He never looked to the sheep. He trusted in His Son. Trusted Him. What a mystery. Redemption. Redemption. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ made sin. Christ made sin. God Almighty dealt with Him in absolute justice. The one who was the apple of His eye, His own Son, the one in whom He was well pleased. But for His love for His people, that He all everlastingly loved. Justification freely by His grace. Justified before the foundation of the world. Justified, declared no charge before they were ever born. He said, I knew you before I formed you in the belly. Jeremiah, I knew you. Mysteries. I know that about the kingdom of God. It's a mystery. I know this about the kingdom of God. It's the Father's good pleasure to give it to His people. That's what Luke 12:32 says. Please your Father give you the kingdom. I know this according to John 18:36. It's not of this world. I know that. Not understood by this world. It's not of this world. It has nothing to do with this world. The only thing it has to do with this world is that God's people's in it. And He's going to get them. James 2:5 reveals that the kingdom of God is an inheritance. It is an inheritance. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? Well, knowing something from the Scriptures concerning the kingdom of God, Let's just look at a couple of more verses of Scripture concerning what the Lord has said and through His teaching, what God has taught concerning the kingdom of God. I know for a fact, according to His teaching, and you can turn over to Matthew 13, it is a kingdom that is sought out by the Lord. I know that. And now listen to what He has to say. He was teaching, and here again, it's Matthew 13, starting in verse 44. All right? Listen to what the Lord has to say. Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. I know according to the Lord's word that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is like a treasure. A treasure. Now, if I be not mistaken, this treasure right here, speaking of the kingdom, is the elect of God, the people of God. Isaiah 62:12 says, "They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Thou shalt call them sought out." Sought out. A city not forsaken. This treasure, now you just look at the wording here and see if the Lord give us some light on this. The kingdom of heaven likened to a treasure hid in a field. Hid in this world. A treasure. A treasure to who? A treasure to the Lord. A treasure in His sight. Isaiah 43:4 says, "Since thou wast precious in my sight, was Christ before His people called out of darkness, was He a treasure to them?" No. We were children of wrath against Him, just like everybody else. There was no love, there was no seeking. No man seeks after God. But here's what this says. The Lord says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure that's hid in a field. The Lord said, I'll finish that scripture I started to read, Isaiah 43:4, "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable in His esteem, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life." The treasure that this kingdom is made up of is a treasure hid in a field, scattered throughout this world, in every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue, the field of this world, of people. They're just sojourners. They're everywhere. But God knows where they are. And they're hidden. A kingdom of heaven like a treasure hid in a field. Hidden from the world's eyes. And I'll be honest with you, before they're converted, hidden from their own eyes. They don't even know it. Just dead. Dead, spiritually dead sinners. But this treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found. What man? Oh, the man. The man, the Lord Jesus Christ. How long has He found them? Oh, He's always found them. He's always known them. They're the gift of His Father. He's always found them. They were His as His bride in Himself. And in time, He came for her to redeem her, to die for her. When this man hath found, he hideth. What do you mean, he hideth? I mean, he came into this world. He made himself of no reputation. Made in the likeness of men, but one that this world saw no beauty in, hidden from the eyes of the people of this world, the sinners that cannot look upon Him and see any beauty in Him, despised and rejected of men. And when this man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all he hath and buyeth that field. Now something's been bought. Something's been sold. Somebody has become poor. He sold all he had. For joy he did this. What joy? Well, for the joy that was set before him. The joy of the redemption and salvation of his people. He endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. The joy of his people being with him eternally. For joy he goeth and selleth all he hath, sacrificed everything for the redemption of his own. I read this scripture a few minutes ago when I was in the study going over these notes, and I noticed something here in 2 Corinthians 8:9. Let me read this to you. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, not for good people, not for good people, but for wretched sinners, he who loved us while we were dead in trespasses and sins, for your sakes, he became poor. Now, you know, I read that. He became poor that ye through his poverty might be rich. I read that word poor and I thought, I'm going to look that word up. Poor. A pauper. A pauper. A beggar. A beggar. In fact, one of the words in the definition is cringing. Just a cringing one. He who is rich, indescribably rich. How do you describe the richness of the Lord Jesus? God Himself. He became a pauper. A beggar. That ye through His beggary, through His poverty, might be rich. Rich in faith, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. This man, the kingdom of heaven, likened to a treasure hidden in a field. And it's going to have to be bought. That's what the scripture says. He buys that. Something's going to have to be bought. Somebody's doing something in redemption. He's buying a field. Bought the whole field. He who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion or in habit as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that one who had a treasure hidden in this field, in this world, when he found it eternally, in time, for joy. He goeth and made himself no reputation. Selleth all he hath and bought that field. He bought it. That field. I thought you said that's the world. He sure did. He sure did. He bought the whole world. I didn't say he redeemed them all. He didn't redeem them all. But he bought this whole world. He purchased the right to rule this world and to get his treasure out of it. He owns everything. He bought it. He bought it by the shedding of his own blood. Listen to this. I'll prove this to you. Romans 14:9 says, to this end, to this end, to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. He's got the right, Chuck. He's got the right to do with every man as he sees fit. You know why? He bought it. He bought the field. He owns the field. All souls are mine. The soul that sinneth will die. The scripture says, listen, let me just read this to you. John 17, our Lord's high priestly prayer. John 17, 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. All flesh. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. I'm going to tell you something. What's the kingdom of God like? The kingdom of God is like a treasure. A treasure of God's choosing. A treasure of God's purpose and God's will. God's grace and God's mercy. Hidden in a field. When he found it in grace, found it in mercy, found it in compassion, hid himself, made himself of no reputation, came into this world and lived and died under the absolute law of God, and satisfied justice, and he bought that field and takes his treasure out of it. Why? Because he's got the right to. Back in Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46, he gave another example. He says again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now the first one was concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Buying something. Paying for it with his own blood. He bought it. He purchased it. Paid for, paid in full. Now here's something. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Pearls, some plural things. Likened to a tradesman, businessman. That's what he is. A merchant man. A businessman. You know, I make my own way. I work hard. I've got some savvy about this. I know what I'm doing. It's like a merchant man that's going about and going to buy him some wealthy things. Seeking. You know the only problem with a man that seeks? I want to read this to you. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 11. The scripture says about a man that is an unregenerate, seeking anything. Listen to what Proverbs 17:11 says. An evil man, an unbeliever, seeketh only rebellion. That's all he seeks. Evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. A man without Christ seeks only rebellion. But here, this kingdom is a kingdom of subjects that's made willing in the day of God's power. Back in Matthew 13, verse 45, kingdom of heaven likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, when he, like that prodigal son, came to himself, Pat, in regenerating grace, he found one pearl. The only pearl worth having. The one pearl of great price. He went and sold all that he had. Like old Saul of Tarsus who became Paul the Apostle. He said, all of these things that were gained to me, I was born the right day, the right parents, right tribe. I was this, that, and the other. And all of those things are dung to me. Dung. Refuge. That I might know Him, be found in Him. This man, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. How? He bought it without price, without money. He bought it by faith. Buy of me, that's what the Lord says. Come unto me, you know, buy of me with no money, no price. You don't have it. But I'll give you that which alone you purchased me by faith. By faith. One pearl of great price. He gave up everything else. And then lastly, this kingdom back in Matthew 13. Verse 47 to 49. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, sat down, gathered the good unto vessels, cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, or those that God has justified. This kingdom is a kingdom that's gathered by the Lord God Himself, called out through the preaching of the gospel. That net it's thrown. That net's the truth. It gathers them all in. There's some tares among the wheat. There's always, the Lord says, they're always there. But in the day of God's judgment, God's going to separate them. Remember the workers there? He asked the master, said, didn't you sow good seed? And look, there's some tares out there. You want us to go up there and pull the tares out? He said, no. You let them grow together. He said, what'll happen is you'll go out there and pull up what you think's a tare. He said, you probably be pulling up sheep. You leave them alone. In the final day, I'll gather them all. I'll separate them. I know mine. I know mine. I'm known of mine. Those that trust their own works, their own will, their own self-righteousness are going to be cast out. Remember, all souls are the Lord's. But to you that believe, that you who possess no confidence in your own flesh, in yourself, who can but be saved by the mercy of God, you who must be saved by God or perish, to you, He's precious. He's the one pearl of great price. He's precious. There's not another like Him. No one else like Him. Seek ye first. Back in Matthew 6. Seek ye first. Verse 33. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not your own. His. All these things shall be added unto you. Take, verse 34, no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The trials of today, there's enough trials for today. Don't start worrying about tomorrow's trials. Tomorrow's never going to get here. There is no tomorrow. It's always going to be today. It's always going to be right now. Today is the day of salvation. Seek Him.